Tonight, God's Word comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We are going to begin reading at verse 25 and then read through the end of this chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning at verse 25. What we hear now is God's Word. Now concerning the betrothed, I have no command from the Lord, but I give my judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. I think that in view of the present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be free. Are you free from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a betrothed woman marries, she has not sinned. Yet those who marry will have worldly troubles, and I would spare you that. This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. And his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. If anyone thinks he is not behaving properly toward his betrothed, if his passions are strong, and it has to be, let him do as he wishes. Let them marry. It is no sin. But whoever is firmly established in his heart, being under no necessity, but having his desire under control, and has determined this in his heart, to keep her as his betrothed, he will do well. So then, he who marries his betrothed does well, and he who refrains from marriage will do even better. A wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. Yet in my judgment, she is happier if she remains as she is. And I think I too have the Spirit of God. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, for those of you who are visiting with us for the last several weeks and even months together, we have been looking at Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. And we are in the third section of that letter. In the first section, Paul deals with some difficulties in the church regarding the leadership. In the second section, chapters 5 and 6, he talks about matters that had been reported to him, things he had heard about that church that he writes them to address. And now, in chapter 7, he has been dealing with matters that they asked him about. Chapter 7 begins, "Now concerning the matters about which you wrote." And so Paul is going to give them instruction on questions they asked about how they should live. We have seen that the heart of this chapter, the driving force behind all of this chapter, is verses 19 and 20. keeping the commandments of God, each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. And so I hope by now, if even I ask the children, what is the point of 1 Corinthians 7, you would tell me, remain as you are. We are using that title once again tonight for the last time this evening, reminding ourselves that God calls us to serve Him wherever we are. We don't need to change our state. We don't need to change our condition. We don't need to change our status. Serve God right where you are now. We saw that He addressed those who were married, but were trying to live as if they weren't married, as if avoiding physical relations was a higher state of service to God. He says, don't do that. If you're married, act like you're married. Remain as you are. Serve God in your marriage. We saw in that second section of 1 Corinthians 7, he talks about those who find themselves married to an unbeliever. One becomes converted. He says, even in that case, remain as you are. Do not divorce. Marriage is permanent. Marriage is for life. It is to be an ongoing relationship. Remain as you are in your marriage. We saw last time he broadened that application to our calling, to our vocation, to our work, that in whatever place God has put us, in whatever place we serve in His kingdom, it's okay to serve God right there. Remain as you are. And now he will close off this section, verses 25 and following, talking not to the married so much as to the single, those who are unmarried, and giving them the same instruction. Serve God right where you are. It is okay to remain as you are. Don't feel like you have to marry before you can begin serving God. Remain as you are and serve Him right now. I have to say that the end of chapter 7, verses 25 and following, are the most difficult section of this chapter. In a number of ways, there are a number of translation issues that are very difficult. The section begins, now concerning the betrothed, that's someone engaged to be married. Some translations say now concerning virgins, those who are unmarried, strictly unmarried and not looking to be married. So there are some translational issues that are difficult. The section in verse 36 to 38, some Bibles even have an alternate reading of that. It's a very difficult text to translate, and there's interpretive problems. We're not going to go into the difficulties in this text tonight. There are plenty of them. I have tried to be diligent in studying them to understand the various options before us. But I believe that once we look at the overall flow of verses 25 through the end, we will see that Paul continues his same theme. Serve God now. Whether he is talking to the married, whether he is talking to the engaged, whether he is talking to the strictly unmarried, serve God now. Tonight's subtitle, The Christian and Singleness, the Christian and those who are unmarried. But Paul will bring this together at the end, reminding all of us of our obligation to serve him. So tonight's sermon is not a singles-only sermon. It might be directed perhaps more towards singles, but we do remember that God's Word will apply at the end to all of us, to remain as we are. It's okay. Begin serving Him now. Paul says, now, concerning the betrothed, I have no command from the Lord, but I give my judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Again, perhaps in passing, just to remind you what we talked about a few weeks ago, when Paul says, I have no command from the Lord, it does not in any way lessen the authority of what he is saying. He is saying, Christ Jesus did not teach about this, so I'm going to teach about it. Paul is not just giving us good, pious advice here, but he is giving us apostolic, authoritative instruction. No command from the Lord, but I give my judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. He says, I think that in view of the present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. Well, what is that present distress that is going to be the condition under which Paul gives these instructions? Some suggest that in light of what he says later in verse 29, he says, this is what I mean, brothers, the appointed time has grown very short. Some suggest, Paul is saying that the end of time is imminent. In light of the present distress, the tribulations that will attend the end of time, you should remain as you are. And that Paul has a view toward the end of the world here. The trouble with that interpretation is that the words Paul uses don't really have any connection with the eschaton, with the end of the world. That's not the distress that he's talking about. Some suggest that Paul is perhaps aware of imminent persecutions that might come upon the church, or persecutions that will be going on right now. The problem with that is there's no external evidence to back that up. He's not talking, there was no persecution, particularly at this time in Corinth. Some suggest Paul is even referring perhaps to a current famine that was going on. There's not enough food to go around in light of that problem. When Paul says, I think that in view of the present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. That distress he is talking about is not the end of the world. It is not an imminent persecution. But rather, it is the ongoing difficulties that we experience in daily life. He will say in verse 30, those who mourn should be as those who are not mourning. Those who rejoice as those who are not rejoicing. Those who buy as those who had no goods. Those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. He says, there's going to be lots of times of emotional ups and downs. There's going to be trials and tribulations in the ongoing nature of life. In view of the difficulties just of being a Christian in the world, you should remain as you are. Remember, they're in a Corinthian culture, a culture of depravity. And this Christian church is planted there. And he says, in view of that distress, in view of those hardships, if you are single, it's okay to remain single. Don't think that you have to be married. There are certain difficulties that are attendant upon marriage. Now, I'm not suggesting that it's easier to be single. But there are different hardships, or perhaps I should put it this way, hardships express themselves differently on those who are married. He talks about rejoicing or mourning. Now, when we have difficulties in our lives, they can be hard on us. It can be like Psalm 66 says, like someone is riding over our backs, and it's difficult for us, and we mourn over that. Even more so when those difficulties are going on in our spouse's life. We suffer along with them. Now, the single person may suffer, may have difficulty, but it is their own difficulty. And their own burdens that they bear. They don't also bear the burdens of a spouse or bear the burdens of a child who is going through a difficult, hard time in life. Paul says, it's okay to remain where you are if you are single to avoid the hardship of emotional distress. Not only dealing with your own emotions, but dealing with the hurts, the disappointments, the pains of your spouse and of your children. Remain as you are. He says, those who buy as those who had no goods. Again, I want to be very careful not to suggest that those who are single are more financially well off than those who are married. But it is true that money, buying and selling, is one of the difficulties in marriage. Those who are single are responsible for their own finances. Those who are married, particularly those of you who are husbands, know what it is to be concerned about the financial welfare of your wife and your family. It is a burden that we bear. It is a hardship that we have. Will we have enough in the grocery budget this month to keep eating all the meals? Will we have enough to pay our rent payment once again? Will we have enough to pay our Christian education bill? And it's difficult. It's difficult for that financial weight to be upon a husband concerned about his wife and his family. Single people are responsible for themselves. And if they make a bad financial decisions, they are the only ones who bear the burden of that. If a father makes a bad financial decision, his wife is affected. His children are affected. Paul says, in light of this, it's okay to remain as you are. It's okay to be unmarried. There are certain hardships you can avoid. And of course, going right along with that, financial concerns is the ongoing difficulty that many of us struggle with, the problem of greed, wanting more. Now again, those who are single can struggle with that sin. They can struggle with wanting more and more. But they don't have a wife, they don't have a husband who is saying to them, why don't we have more? Why can't we have a car like the neighbors have? Why can't we take a vacation like the neighbors do? Why can't we have more? The married have that extra burden upon them that they're concerned about the rest of the family. For the single, if we struggle with greed, it is our own sin that we struggle with, not those trying to put that burden upon us. Paul says, it's okay. It's okay to remain where you are. No spouse, no children asking you questions. Why can't we do this? If you can't do it, it's your own responsibility. Paul says, now concerning the single, it is good to remain where you are. Those are, I guess we might say, somewhat negative warnings about marriage. Negative warnings saying, remain the way you are now. There are also certain positive blessings that come from being single. Positive blessings that those who are single have that those who are married do not. Verse 32, I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. God calls us to an undivided devotion to Him. And for those who are married, that is very, very difficult. Because our lives, by their very nature of being married, are divided. The married man is anxious about how to please his wife, as well as how to please the Lord. But for the single, for the unmarried, he is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please Him, and that's it. The blessing of not having those other pressures upon him. The blessing of having his time his own, not having to balance time at work and time for spouse and time for children. For the unmarried, your time is yours. You can have an undivided devotion to God in a different way that those who are married have. The single have a certain ease when it comes to travel, to opportunities for service. For many of us, the idea of going off on a short-term mission trip would involve clearing it with our families, making sure the children are taken care of, all the things we'd have to cancel, the piano lessons, and making sure the people can get where they have to be. But for the single, if you can get the time off from your work, you're free to go. You have a certain blessing of being unfettered, unhindered in your devotion. And you can give yourself in an undivided way to God. Paul says, that's a great thing. Remain as you are. Don't feel like you have to marry in order to serve God. And I guess that's
That's the great danger for those who are single.
Is that since so much of your life focuses around you and what you do and who you are, the danger is becoming very self-serving rather than serving others. The nature of your life is that you're very independent and you come and go as you like. You're very free. It's very easy to in that lifestyle, lose a concern about others around you. And perhaps miss opportunities of service because you are more self-absorbed. Let's be very, very practical. In the church, there are opportunities for service, opportunities open to all of us. One of those opportunities is serving the church in the nursery. Now, who normally serves in the nursery? It's the mothers of young children. Those mothers that have been dealing with these children all week. Those mothers that have been wiping the noses. Those mothers that have been clean, hearing the cries. And now on Sunday, they get to go to the nursery and have not only their kids, but a dozen other brats too. For those who are single, what a wonderful opportunity for service. The blessing of interacting with these children, the blessing of giving the mothers a break so they can come and sit next to their spouse in worship. The service that the single can do for the church of Jesus Christ. But we have a mindset that looks for those opportunities, that doesn't just assume for mothers to do, but that says, wouldn't it be wonderful to give those mothers a break on Sunday and to give of ourselves, to volunteer our time for mission trips, for opportunities to pick up and travel somewhere else for a brief time, to serve others, other parts of the Church of Jesus Christ. If we become so absorbed in ourselves and our schedules, we don't think about those things. But as those who are single, there's huge opportunities, huge blessings, huge privileges of being able to go and travel and serve in the Church of Jesus Christ. Oh, there are many other examples that we could talk about, but it takes the mindset, singles, it takes the mindset of looking for opportunities and undivided devotion to God. You are not pulled 10 different ways, like some of the married are. Use that opportunity. Use your singleness in service to God. Paul says, remain as you are. Of course, Paul brings this section to a close by once again reminding us that all of us are called to serve God where we are. Verses, as I said, 36 through 38 are a very difficult section. We're not going to go through that in detail. The point of 36 through 38 is that all of us, in whatever state we are called to, should serve God. For the greatest service you can in the place God has put you. If God has placed you in a marriage, then serve God there. Serve your spouse, husband or wife. Serve your children if God blesses you with them. Serve God by serving those around you. Serve God where you are. It's okay to remain where you are. Don't seek to leave that marriage. Don't seek to act as if you're not married. But serve God where you are. If you are single, serve God where you are. Serve Him with the gifts, with the talents, with the abilities, and with the freedoms that you have as someone who is single. May it never be that after you might get married someday and you look back and you say, oh, the wasted time, what I could have done back then. Stay where you are. Serve God now. to the greatest potential that you have. Paul even finishes with those who are widows. A wife is bound to her husband as long as she lives, but if her husband dies, she's free to be married to whomever she wishes, only in the Lord. Yet, in my judgment, she is happier if she remains as she is. Those who are older, those who are widowed, you have an opportunity right where you are to serve God. Don't say that because I'm no longer married, because I no longer have a husband or wife, I'm without an opportunity for service. No, Paul says, remain where you are and serve God there. The call goes to all of us in whatever situation God has placed us. Because our service is a response to God's glorious blessings to each and every one of us. The glorious blessing of salvation. The glorious blessing of being called by God. The glorious blessing of knowing our sins have been washed away. We've been cleansed. Now, how can we thank God? I will thank Him with my service right now, wherever God has placed me. If I'm single, if I'm married, if I'm older, if I'm younger, serving God right now. God obligates us. Our service, we of course know, is not unto salvation. It flows out of salvation. It is the response to where God has put you. Are you married? Serve God now in your marriage. Are you single? Serve God now in your singleness. Are you older? Retired, perhaps? Serve God now in that place in life. Are you younger? Children, grade school, high school, students in college. Don't put off your service to the future. Paul says, keeping should remain in the condition in which he was called. It's okay to remain where you are. People of God, serve God now. Let's join together in prayer. Lord God, we know that your church is a church with various ages and gifts and abilities and talents. We pray that tonight you might work in our hearts, in whatever state we find ourselves, a desire to serve you. You've given us each gifts, talents, abilities. Some of us are single. Some of us are married. Some have children. Some are widowed. Some are retired. Some are still working. Help us, O God, in whatever situation you have placed us, to feel that obligation, feel that desire. To love you, in which to honor you, in which to serve you, out of thanksgiving for all that you have done for us. Oh Lord God, we pray for opportunities, and we pray that you would use us. In Jesus' name, amen.